Hi.
Hi, you.
I would love for each of you to join me for a weekend in prison. 4 days locked up, away from almost every aspect of life as you know it. The only thing you can take into the prison is your driver's license, your blue card, and your car key. Note the singular on key. No cell phone, no wallet, no money. Would you be more willing to go if I told you that you'd be joining the Holy Spirit in ministry to the prison? You would get to watch Him at work. I want to tell you about my experience at Kairos Craggy Number 1. And then I want to tell you about how every one of you can get involved, because both men and women are able to serve the Holy Spirit through Kairos. No matter who you are, you can be a part of this ministry. First, I guess I should tell you how I got involved. At the training meetings, I learned that a good number of Kairos volunteers were politely but firmly, shall we say, invited into the Kairos ministry by a friend. Some were drugged there. Well, that sort of thing happened to me, but my friend was not human. As many of you know, not only do I participate in providing transportation for Billy from Craggy Minimum on Sunday mornings, but I also attend the Yoke Fellows Bible study meetings on Tuesday evenings. If anyone is interested, I would be happy to talk to you about Yoke Fellows. However, I only mention it because it was at a Yoke Fellows meeting that someone handed out a recruitment letter for Kairos. And as I read it, I felt the sense that because I had attended a Walk to Emmaus weekend many years ago, I might be able to help out with Kairos. So like I do with all sorts of things, I put the letter away and forgot about it. But someone else did not forget. That person somehow caused the letter to pop up several times. Finally, I said yes to the Holy Spirit and called John Cleese. It's K-L-E-E-S, and he's Dutch heritage and has the accent to prove it. I corresponded with Mr. Cleese for a few months and then drove out to a Presbyterian church off Airport Road for the first meeting. As you might expect, many of the volunteers were Methodists. That denomination hosts the Walk to Emmaus, which is based on the Curcio, as is Kairos. However, in addition to them, there was a whole boatload of Baptists, although I'm not sure which brand of Baptist any of them were. There were two varieties of Presbyterians, some Lutherans, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, one man whose church I never quite got, and me. I looked around the room and realized that I might be the only charismatic in the group. I felt a bit lonely, and I wondered how the Holy Spirit was going to use these non-charismatic men. I will tell you now that I saw a miracle happen with those men. I also realized that I was one of a very few new volunteers. Almost everyone there had been involved with Kairos for a long time. It turns out that because this being the first one at Craggy, the leadership was trying to make it a success by having only a few who had not been to several Kairos weekends. But that also helped me, since there were so many who had done this before. But you couldn't prove it at the first training session. Two of the men got into a friendly argument over how to present Kairos to their home churches. And one of the Presbyterians made what sounded like a jab at the other side And there seemed to be a large amount of confusion over a number of issues. I even wondered if Mr. Cleese was actually Nigel Faulty. But I went on to the second training session anyway. I guess it was because I had said I would do it, and I did not feel the Holy Spirit saying no. Many years ago, on my walk to Emmaus, a joke was made about the director saying one more thing. That stuck in my mind, I guess, I don't know why, but the first time I heard John Cleese say it, I remembered the joke and almost laughed out loud. That little thing made me realize that Kairos was going as it should. I would hear John say one more thing many times before the weekend was over. And each time I heard it, I realized that the Holy Spirit was still in charge. None of the negative things from that first training session occurred in subsequent sessions. The team began to form. The unity and purpose of the group overcame the denominational and personal prejudice. By Thursday, the 16th of November, we were united in our purpose. The Holy Spirit had brought us together. We were a team. Each team member had the task of being host of one of the participants. The host greets the participant on Thursday evening and escorts him to the cookie and food table. Also, every morning he greets the participant and makes sure all is going well for him. My participant was a young man who rather quickly told me that he had been inside since he was 17. I did not ask, and he did not tell me how old he was now, but he looked no older than 25. He worked in the canine department training dogs, but he wants to be a screenwriter. I was dumbfounded when he said that. He had been taking correspondence classes and knew quite a bit about it. I told him I had written a few short stories, and we talked shop for a while. Now I ask you, what are the chances of that happening? No one on the Kairos team knew I had written anything. One more proof that the Holy Spirit was running the show. One thing was blatantly apparent. The participants were hungry for three things. First, good food. Second, good fellowship. And third, a good relationship with Jesus. The weekend is designed to provide these three things, but not just provide a little bit, but to show these participants a glimpse of eternal life. I want to read Isaiah 55, verses 1, 2, and 3. Everyone who thirsts, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. There was abundance of all kinds of things at Kairos, all of them good. But because of certain logistical and coordination situations, the participants had to eat breakfast where they normally do. And then they join us. So Friday morning, the participants walked into the meeting room to find a big tray of cookies on the table. This was served with coffee, and it seemed to fulfill the promise of the table full of cookies and snacks they had devoured the night before. That theme of huge amounts of food, good tasty food, continued throughout the weekend. There were half-pound hot dogs and hamburgers, a foot-wide taco salad filled with all sorts of delicious Mexican things, lasagna with an Italian salad. I don't remember all of it, but I do remember the barbecue lunch on Sunday. And between the meals, popcorn and chips with hot sauce, the participants would fill a cup with popcorn or chips, pour hot sauce all over it, and cookies. You never saw so many cookies. Those guys ate and ate and ate. But there were times of worship and times of meditation and times of study. There were a series of talks on various topics. The point was to get the table members to bond and then to develop their new friendships. This is because that even though they are confined with a large number of other men, they are totally on their own. They can't trust any inmate, nor do they trust the correctional officers. Everyone has been betrayed, and the rumors abound. Best to keep to yourself. As the weekend progressed, the participants at my table, the table of Paul, became more and more confident in the other participants at our table. The same is generally true for other tables. As an example of how these men were progressing, let me tell you about a man at a table next to mine. He looked sullen. I never saw him smile. He seemed icy and maybe even angry. Then, Friday evening, we were singing. He just stood there while his table mate stood by him, singing with joy. Then the band played one of those songs that goes faster and faster. I don't remember which song it was, just that they kept going faster and faster and faster. Finally, the drummer sped past the guitar player who was singing, and the song sort of crashed. Well, that rather sullen participant started laughing, really laughing. He turned and looked at his table mates who were also laughing. From that point, he tried to join in. His clapping was a bit goofy. He clapped like this. He began to smile. It seemed to me that he felt the Holy Spirit and had to join in. The placemats were treasured. Almost every participant moved their placemat before the food was served to keep them from spilling something on it. Some folded them. Others seemed to act as if folding them might damage them. They did not get much to take back. So the placemats are physical reminders of God's love, the physical agape, and proof that the weekend really did happen. Those men treasured their placemats. Did these men get Jesus? Well, here's a bit of what I saw. On Saturday afternoon, we had what we called a poster party. After each talk, the participants at each table would draw a poster depicting what they heard in the talk. One participant said it was like going back to grade school, drawing with markers. For him, this was a reminder of something good in his past. But for all of them, it was a chance to compete in a friendly, non-threatening way. Each table would get up on the stage and describe their poster. Various participants explaining the poster. Various viewpoints were vocalized, but one thing stood out for me. One of the participants in describing the poster talking about how living a Christian life would help solve race problem. Racial tension is a constant for them. And the message the world provides just does not work. By Saturday afternoon, they were seeing how being a Christian could help them with their life. Finally, I want to tell you how I saw the Holy Spirit bring these men together. Early on, we sang the song, Lean on Me. The first time we sang it, a few of the team leaders put their arms around each other while singing the song. The next time we sang it, a few of the participants joined in. The last time we sang it was Sunday morning. We had to sing it through a couple of times. But by the end, everyone had put his arm around his brother in Christ. It was a beautiful sight. On Saturday night, we had a forgiveness ritual. For this ritual, we wrote the names of people we needed to forgive and the names of people who needed to forgive us on rice paper. Then, table by table, we got up and proceeded to a huge bowl of water where we dropped our piece of paper into the water and watched it dissolve. Then, as we dismissed, each participant was given a bag of cookies and told to take that bag of cookies to someone back in their dorm that needed forgiveness. Yeah. They took a bag of cookies back and gave it to someone they needed to forgive. Finally, on Sunday afternoon, On Sunday afternoon, we celebrated with a closing ceremony. Part of that ceremony involved the participants singing a song to the team. The song was "Lean on Me." And I want you to know that as soon as the first notes were sounded and the words went up on the screen, they put their arms around the shoulders of their brothers in Christ and sang with all their might. And I knew right then that there before me was a group of 36 men who were ready to go out and conquer the world. See, we had talked about their life. We had given them a chance to express their feelings and concerns in various ways, including an open mic session. On Sunday afternoon, they had another open mic session, and they talked about what was going to happen next. They talked about how they kept their heads down, not speaking to anyone while they walked around the yard, and how that was going to change. They were going to take Jesus to the yard and share him with their fellow inmates. And now I want to give you the opportunity to see what I saw. There are several ways. First, of course, is to serve on the team as I did. In addition, you can serve as part of the support team. That involves a tremendous effort to get food prepared, the placemats and posters sorted and arranged, and a whole ton of other things that have to be done in the background. For you ladies, you can serve on the team for Kairos in Swannanoa. And for those of you who want to serve on a team but feel a bit intimidated by the prison, there is Kairos Outside. This is a ministry to the women those who are incarcerated have left behind. The wives, daughters, mothers of the participants at Craggy can go to their own Kairos weekend, and your service would be a blessing to them. So just like the participants taking it to the yard, you can take it to those who need it. And in taking it to others, you will find yourself blessed beyond measure. Do you have any questions? Okay, well, I have some email addresses if you want that. And there's some brochures if anybody wants to take a look at that. The brochure on the back, which I'm right. Yeah, the brochure on the back has the local Kairos information, and inside There's the International Kairos address if you wanted to get in touch with them. And for
How often do they have the weekends that you experience?
Right now, there's two a year planned at Craggy. I have here a letter for you men, if you want to read it, and it tells you when the training sessions are and when the next Kairos is. The next Kairos will start Thursday, May the 3rd. So, and then there's training sessions on March the 3rd, March the 24th, and April the 21st. Those are Saturdays. So if you want to go. Yes.
I was wondering, after the participants get out of prison, what kind of support do they have similar to what they had in prison during this experience? Because if they get out and they don't have it, they could fall by the wayside. So,
yeah, well, in addition to the local churches and all the other Christian ministries, they can go to a Walk to Emmaus or a Curcio, or what's the name of our churches?
Tres Arroyos.
Three streams. So, different denominations have different forms of this Curcio type weekend. And you all can go to one of them. You don't have to have gone to one of them to volunteer to help with Kairos.
The other thing, Michelle, is too that they do the weekend, but then they go back once a month to reinvigorate the group. The group comes together once a month with the outside folks coming in. So it's an ongoing support for those who've gone over
it's
the
not just
yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not just
right.
A first-time experience. It's an ongoing
The same experience. Thing with the Curcio and so forth. You meet for a reunion periodically.
We did the Walk to Emmaus. So
yeah, right. And so And last Wednesday, I went back up there for the reunion, only the prison was locked down and we couldn't do it. that does happen sometimes. So I'm looking forward to January. Joe.
There is also an office out in West Asheville. I can't remember exactly where it is. Near Firestorm Cafe. In West Asheville, that is a Kairos office. A Kairos.
I think that's a different group.
Is it a different organization?
It's a different organization.
Okay. But it's a community thing where people come in. I'm sure this would be something that your people would be interested in.
I don't know. Anyway, I do have these letters. I also have team applications if you want to sign up. And I have a Department of North Carolina application that you have to fill out so you can get your blue card and go into the prison. So if any of you are interested in any of that, please let me know. Pray about it. And I'm going to harass you, too.
You might want to put all this stuff on the table.
Right.
In our
okay. And I'll leave this page with the... I didn't mention there is a thing called Kairos Torch, and I didn't hear much about that, but that is for those incarcerated in the juvenile system. So there's a lot available. If you're interested, you can serve the Holy Spirit and see the miracles that I saw.